to say what I was going to say before?
Yep.
Okay. This can go along with what Caleb has already shared about with law, or hi Sarah, or grace. I'd intended it to go with grace, but I wasn't here when Caleb taught about that. So I just had a couple of things I wanted to share, and Caleb and I were talking about it this morning. I think it's two of the most important things the Lord showed me or taught me about grace in raising our girls. And I learned it later in their lives, but I wish I had learned it earlier, because I would have put it into practice even earlier in their lives. One of the things is to never be shocked by their sin. Never, even when they're little. And I think I probably did do this, like, oh, how could you have done that to your sister? What have you done? I'm so disappointed. Those kind of words, how somehow what they have done is so shocking, or that I'm in some way we are better. It's somehow I would never do anything like that. How could you have done anything like that? God doesn't do that to us. He has never done that to us. He's never shocked by what we do. When we come to him, he goes, I know you did. And come to me, let me clean you, and let me comfort you. That's what he does. And that, not that there's not consequences to the things that we do, but he never responds to us that way. So when I heard this piece of advice from someone else, I didn't just come up with it, unfortunately. But when someone brought that up to us, I thought, well, I'll just file that away. And I didn't realize how soon I was going to need it. And although I wasn't dealing with little things like stealing a toy or drawing on the walls or something like that, the Lord was so gracious to give this to us at a time where we were going to need it in a significant way with our kids, a significant way. And what's so awesome about the Lord is their testimony has been that our reaction to them when they came to us is one of the things that drew them back to the Lord. And when our reaction to them was one of the things that proved to them that God loved them and that he could restore them. Now, that's not praise for us. That's because we had time for the Lord to do a lot of work in us. But if I had never heard this, if the Lord had never spoken this to me or to Caleb, I don't know how. By God's grace, I hope I would have responded in the right way, but I don't know if I hadn't been given this wisdom, you know, from someone who had lived through it. And the other thing is that your house is a sanctuary for your kids, that they always feel safe there. They always feel like they can be themselves, totally who they are, and that they can come to you with absolutely anything and they're safe. Because the world is not safe. No friend group is completely safe. But with you and with mom and dad, I'm safe. I can be crazy and silly and all of my personality, and I'm safe. I can tell you everything that happened to me today and everything I thought, no matter how ungodly it was, and I'm safe. Because what you don't want is them feeling this kind of safety, this pseudo-safety with their friends, and they start closing you off. Because that can happen and it will happen. And so from the time they're little, you start telling them you're safe here. You can tell mommy anything. You can tell daddy anything. And I will never, ever, ever stop loving you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say. We have told our kids that since before they can understand English. And I'm not exaggerating. We have told them that. It doesn't matter. You will not. Our love will never change. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you tell us, we will love you. Come to us first. Come to us first. So And we've been telling them that even to this day. And they know that. They know that. So I think those were my two biggest things.
Okay. Amen. So. Amen. By the same token, don't be offended when, you know, your kids will find others that they may share some things with that they don't share with you. Yeah. And don't be offended by that. As long as it's the right kind of friends or the right kind of, you know, I love it when my kids feel like they can hang out with Christy and, you know, talk to her and, you know, and that's fine. Because there's, you know,
Rebecca and Felix or Rachel and Patrick or, you know.
Because I think there's still a possibility that no matter how it is in your home, that there's still this possibility just because how we are in our human nature. Think about the things we think we don't tell God, right? Or that we hide from God, even though he's perfect in all of his ways. We have the same feelings and emotions and things that do that to us. And so there may be times where that happens. Don't be offended by that. Don't be shocked by that. Don't feel like you failed in some way. There's just part of us that does that. So again, we do it to the Lord. So, okay. So tying in perfectly with what we've been talking about, just a quick overview of where we were last week. We talked about, he started out talking about the subtle and foundational mistake that a lot of parents make. And one of the things he says in there, and this is such a powerful statement, this is the one I said, you know, write this one down, keep it with you so that you remember this always. But if rules and regulations had the power to change the heart and life of your child, rescuing your child from himself and giving him a heart of submission and faith, Jesus would have never needed to come. And so, you know, because he talked about how as parents, we bring in a law, we bring in regulations, we bring in standards, and we think that this tool, this one tool, if we keep this one in our, you know, we pull this one out more than anything else, this is what's going to do it. This is what's going to work. This is what keeps things in order and keeps things in line. And so he said, look, that's a terrible mistake. But then, not to close it out, he says, our children need God's law. And even here, when we talk about our children needing God's law, even here, grace is required, because even with the law, we don't truly see our spiritual need. And he talked about a little later, he talked about that within the law and our need for the law, he talked about how the law, through the law comes the grace of wisdom that we see ourselves, we understand this is right, this is wrong. And then the grace of conviction, that in that we see our spiritual need, that if we'll apply it with grace, then that's the outcome we're looking for. He said our children need to understand the law's weakness. So they need it, but then they need to understand its weakness. And he just says it so well here. He says, this is what every parent of every child needs to understand. The law does a very good job of exposing your child's sin, but it has no power whatsoever to deliver your child from it. The law has no ability to rescue your child from the power of sin's grip. The law has no ability to give your child a new heart. The law has no ability to create the lasting change in your child that every parent longs for. The law cannot and will not rescue, redeem, and restore your child, but that's exactly what every child needs. So if you're going to be a tool of change in God's hands in the lives of your children, you need more than God's law in your personal parenting toolbox. And then he moves on and he says, we need to understand that God's grace is essential. And so I just read this part here where he says it. He says, if you're ever going to function as God's ambassador, you need to be rescued by powerful grace from your bondage to you. It's not our children's sin that is in the way of good parenting. It's our tendency to make parenting about our little kingdom of wants, needs, and desires, and tendency to want our children to serve the purposes of our kingdom rather than the Smith the purposes of God's kingdom. And so he's just saying we need that grace as well. We need the grace in our own lives so that we don't fall into these things. And then this is where we left off. We left off last time, and it was, you need to preach the gospel to your children. And he didn't mean, you know, verbally preach it like you would from this pulpit, or that's the only time. And so he says, parents, we all need to have, and everything I do to point my children to the presence and promises of God's grace. promises of God's grace way of parenting our children. That's how we need to do it. Everything I do to point my children to the presence and promises of God's grace. That's the way that should be in our minds of how we want to do this. And we talked about before, you know, as we preach this gospel, and again, you know, all of Scripture applies to everything we do. And so you can apply Romans 10 to our parenting, right? Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And that's kind of where we left off, is don't we want to have the beautiful feet in our home? Isn't that who we want to be? We think in terms of the world that that's what we want to be, right? I want to go out there. But you've got a captive audience every day. And for us to be the beautiful feet to our children, to preach the gospel to them every day. And so he says, the question is, will you see those opportunities to preach the gospel in the mundane moments of parenting and capture them again and again? What do you want for your children? Do you just want them to buck up and obey? Do you just want them to be able to control their behavior until they're out of your care? Which, look, these are temptations for all of us, right? I mean, we all want this in some... It's not the question of is that right or are those things wrong. Is that what you're wanting? Is that what you're ultimately desiring? Do you want little more than children who do what they're told and don't embarrass you in public? Or do you long for more? Much, much more. Do you want children who live every day as God designed them to live, whose hearts are ruled by worship of him and who gladly live inside his boundaries? You know, in your heart of hearts, you can't produce children like this on your own. And I don't know. Sometimes you think it. I thought it, you know. Maybe it wasn't consciously, but I thought it. If you've paid attention, you've begun to realize that you can't control the hearts of your children, even with the best lectures, the best correction, and the most faithful discipline. And so if you, and let me say it this way too, you know, one of the verses you need to cling to as a parent, I mean, cling to it, stand on it, this promise of God, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. That way, the way, it's not our way. And it's not this way that he just talked about, of making sure they don't embarrass us, making sure they got all this in order. You think about that term, the way, when we hear that, whether it's Old Testament, like in Isaiah, when he promises us that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll tell us, this is the way, walk in it, right? He's going to do that for our children well. Or whether it's Jesus himself proclaiming it, I am the way. We can't miss that. So when you cling to that promise, let that promise be a reminder to you. Wait a minute. Is it my way or is it the way? Which one am I training them up in? Which way is this? Because if you're training them up in your way, you know, I can assure you they will depart from it. It'll be a running from it. But if you train them up in the way, in this grace, and with the use of a law, by grace, then it'll have its perfect work. So it's time to give up trying to do and yeah. That's a good point.
So that they won't be condemned, that I failed. I failed because that verse says, if I would do it, then they never would have. So that must mean that I have failed as a parent, and then if that person never comes to Christ, they live under condemnation and this weight and this guilt. I think it's a good verse. I just don't know that I just think we have to be careful because I'm not trying to contradict you.
That's okay.
Saying, but just, I have seen and heard of people are just broken and destroyed because they think that they are a failure as a parent.
So that's perfect, and that's a great clarification. So let me clarify that. If you do it in your own way, and I would say consciously do it in your own way, you're going to bring trouble in your home, all right? But I cling to that verse as much for the exact reason you said as I do anything else, because in that verse, so we'll clarify that verse. In that verse, God does not say, if you get it exactly right, if you do it all perfectly. He doesn't give any qualifications to training up your child in the way they should go. He doesn't say that you did it with X amount of prayer every day with your kids and you did it with teaching them the Bible every day of their lives. He doesn't give any qualifications to that. And so, because I felt that a lot, right? I felt that a lot. And Andrew's absolutely right that when it says they will not depart from it, it has a lasting impact on their lives. It doesn't mean that they don't walk through dark places. It doesn't mean that things don't go the way that you had hoped they would go. But there's something written in their hearts. There's a life that has been lived before them, and there's been something that's been placed inside of them that will not depart from them, and it will not let them go, and it'll never fail them. And so I agree with you 100%, and I didn't mean to convey that in some way we have ultimate control of that. If anything, I stand on that promise in that, God, I did with everything that's in me desire and put my heart into raising them up in the way, and that's all he calls for. And so I stand in that promise and I say, God, therefore I am trusting you. I'm trusting you that my children, you know, and when we talked about just yours and Adam's testimonies have been ringing in my ears, you know, for the last several days, and because it's just such an awesome reminder that, God, when it does seem like we've departed from it, when it does seem like everything's lost, it's not. It's not, because something had already been placed there, something had already been put there, and so thank you for saying that. And so he says that, and the key here is every opportunity, right? Every opportunity. So it's time to give up trying to do in the hearts and lives of your children what only God can do. It's time for you to surrender your heart to His grace and lead the hearts of your children to trust in His grace. You say, I get it, but I just don't know practically what that looks like. And so he says, look, that's what the rest of this book is about. So we'll get to that. So then in his last point here is, he says you need to model the grace, the gospel of grace, to your children. And this is really good. He says you model the gospel of grace to your children. He says, I was committed to what was right for my children, but I went at it in the wrong way. I can't believe that you would do such a thing. Country's talking about. I do for you, and this is the thanks I get. You don't want to know what's going to happen if I have to come up those stairs one more time. Would you just be quiet for one meal so I can for once eat in peace? And look, guys.
I think I've said all of those things.
If you haven't said it, it's gonna come out at some point.
I think the only people who haven't said it don't have kids.
Except by the grace of God.
I don't know. I said it to my siblings.
Yeah, thank you.
You said it to your...
So we get to chuckle at it, right? We get to chuckle at it. But listen to what he says after this. Because this is true. And this is what Robin has said that we have seen testified. Because my children have lived through both. They have lived through both extremes. They have lived through one extreme. And then now what God has done in us in these last several years. No child hears that kind of talk and says to himself, what a wise and loving parent. And it's the truth. I mean, Emma has flat out told me before, because
I let me say it.
Because I used to blow. I used to. Well, I don't. No, because just hold on. Let me just keep going, because we're running out of time. So
because it's sweet.
Because I used to. I mean, I used to come off the handle, and I used to think. They need to understand fear. They need to understand these things, and so I would let them see that I was serious, right? But she would, you know, since we've grown older and we have conversations now, she'll tell me, Dad, when you talk like that, something in me just shuts down immediately. I can't hear another word that you said, you know? And I realize that. And even as kids, that's what happens, because he's right. He says, I know I can share my heart with this person. No child hears that kind of talk and says to himself, what a wise and loving parent. I know I can share my heart with this person. I just wish he would say more of these things to me. I am so thankful that this person is my parent. I think I'm beginning to see my heart. No one, adult or child, has ever had someone get up into their face and yell at them and has walked away feeling helped by it. All we just want is to escape, to have it end. If God's plan really is to make His invisible grace visible by sending parents of grace to give grace to children who desperately need grace, then I am called not just to preach that grace, but to live and model it for my children every day. Writing this makes me weak in my knees because I know this is counterintuitive to me and you. It is. As a parent, we lose our way and we want our own way. We forget God's plan and follow our own plan. If we are ever to present the Great Father well, we need to be fathered by Him as well. And he goes on to say some other things, but
his father read a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, which is one we read when our kids were little, and it really is excellent. But in there was a scripture. He has a scripture in that book that I had never really seen before or noticed. And it says, anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. And I remember reading that scripture because I would get so irritated. I was home with the kids all the time, and I'd get so irritated and angry. And when I read that, oh, it was like an arrow to the heart. And the Lord really began to change me when I read that. It doesn't. It has no purpose. The only fear in your house should be the fear of the Lord. And that's the only fear that should be in us, is the fear of the Lord. Our kids will not respond to fear, only fear of the Lord. They should not fear you, ever. They should only fear the Lord.
And some of those things, when He says it, it becomes so obvious to us. But honestly, when we step back, and as Robin alluded to in the beginning, when we step back and we think of how our Father deals with us and how He works with us, how many times have any of you guys had God get up in your face and let you have it and blast you for messing up His day or for screwing up His will or whatever it may be? None of us have. And yes, I understand that in Scripture, God instills great fear in men because but that's when He's bringing out His wrath, right? That's when he's bringing out His wrath against unrighteousness, against these things.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't want to go off into that, get into that whole theology, but it's not how He deals with us as children. Every time God talks about us as children, He always talks in the form of discipline. And remember, that word discipline is coming from the root of discipling. That's what that's all about, is discipling us. And so that's His heart. And so just as I was getting to the end of this chapter and thinking about the grace and the law and how the law is to be used, I thought of these verses, and again, you wouldn't normally apply them to our parenting, but let's read them and think about how it does apply. But he says in Acts chapter 15, verse 10, Peter speaking, he says, "Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" Talking about them bringing the law back in and beginning to put these things on these guys that only grace was supposed to be there. And I thought about that. I thought, what if I think of it in those terms, that I'm putting this on the neck. I'm putting a yoke on the neck of my children when I do this. God, that sounds horrible. Why would I want to do that to my kids? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. Amen. Amen. So let's not put a yoke on our children's necks, but let's bring in the grace of God so that they would be saved just like we were, because we didn't get there by the law. We didn't get there because we attained to some level of the law and then just dropped into faith all of a sudden. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Oh, man. Could that be true for our children as well? Let it be. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Do we want to make our kids slaves? Slaves to the law? Slaves to sin by that law? You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. And think about that. Would I be working a severance in my children's lives? Is something I'm doing working to sever them from the grace of God? You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And so I just thought of those verses, and I thought if I had a right perspective of the law back then, you know, and how it was to be used in my kids' lives, I would have seen the great destruction it could cause, but then I also would have seen that wielded by the grace of God, the great work that it could, that God would use it to do in their lives, that grace of wisdom, that grace of conviction in their lives. And so it's not that we throw the law out, it's not that we cast it aside, but boy, oh boy, you know, the same grace that has worked in our lives and has brought us to the feet of Christ, the same gospel of grace that has done these great and mighty things in our lives, it's the only thing that will do great and mighty things in their lives. And so as you pick up that law, do it as every man in the Old Testament used to do, every godly man in the Old Testament, you pick it up with great reverence and you wield it with the utmost guiding and of the Holy Spirit that you possibly can, and allow God to do with it what He needs to do with it in your home. But then let everything be cloaked in grace. Everything be about the gospel to your children. And so...
What time is it?
Minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Oh, we got time.
So what I wanted to say is, if there are any of you in here that are feeling the least bit discouraged, like, I've made some big mistakes, or what if I can, you know, my kids are already a little bit older and I'm starting now, or this seems insurmountable in me. If any of you are having any kind of thought like that, I was talking to Emma the other day, and she said, you know what I tell people? I tell people I know God is real because of my dad. Because of who he was and who he is now. That's how I know God is real. Because no man could do that. Only God could do that.
Amen.
Only God can make my dad who he is now. So don't be discouraged. Amen. God can use everything. So even the things that you see in your heart that are real, that are big, and that your kids see, God's going to change in front of your kids. And you're going to have to repent to your kids, and you're going to have to do it often. But they're going to see it, and it's going to change their lives. Even those things that He has to change in you are going to change your kids' lives. Because it has mine. It has mine.
Amen. Amen. And guys, you know, we talked about this before, but be honest with them in these things. As the grace of God is working in you, let them see it. Let them hear it. Let them know it. Let them hear it in your prayers. Let them hear it in your mouth. Tell them, you know, today I woke up this morning and this is what God spoke to me. So I think somebody said it last time. I don't remember who was saying it. Or we were talking about it after, and I think you were saying it, Sarah, but I don't know that my kids understand this. You know, I say these things. We talk at night before. I don't know if they don't have to. It's being written in their hearts. Mm-hmm. They're seeing it.
And you never know the moment they're going to get it. Sorry. You don't know the moment that it's all just going to make sense. So just say it.
So let your lives be real with your kids. They are not looking for a dad, especially dads, because I think we're more susceptible to it. But they're not looking for a dad and a mom who have it all together. They're not looking for a dad and a mom who don't make mistakes, and that's how they're going to, oh, that's what I want to be. I want to be a person that doesn't make mistakes.
And no. Who wants parents that don't make mistakes? Yeah. Can you imagine living up to that?
So that's not what they're looking for. So live it. Live it before them. Share it with them. Yeah. And if you think they're not going to understand this thing I'm dealing with in my heart today, they're still, you know, picking boogers and you know, slapping their brother in the face. God does these things. Yeah, no, that's a great word. So they're still getting it. It's the Holy Spirit's job to work it in them, just like it was for us, right? I knew every Bible. Well, I knew all the Bible verses pertaining to salvation forever, but it wasn't until the Lord quickened them in my heart and the Holy Spirit quickened them in my heart one day. But they were there. I had it all there. But then one day, boy, He just like a flood. They just illuminated my heart. Everything made sense. Everything, I could cling to it. It's the same for our kids. It's all being built up in there. It's all being written in there. They're seeing it. They're experiencing it. They're logging it. They're filing it. And then there's going to be a day where you're not going to, you may not even know it. They may never tell you, But sometimes we have our kids tell us things like, I remember when you said so-and-so, or I remember when this happened.
Gosh, you're listening.
And you're like, what? You know? And so it's being put there.
And I was saved when I was 4 years old. And I was truly saved at four. So, you just truly never know. I remember Hannah being, golly, maybe three, playing with her Barbies, and they were going to the School of Christ. Her Barbies were going to the School of Christ, and they were packing to go to the School of Christ. Some of y'all aren't as familiar with Clendenin and the School of Christ, but now that he's gone, but that's what they were doing. And it was just from hearing it at church and having friends who were going to the School of Christ. She had just heard it, and I heard her, and I was thinking, what is she doing? They're packing to go to the School of Christ, and she's three? You know, that's just... It was her life, and I know for all of y'all, your kids, that church is going to be their life, and that's what you're going to hear them playing, and that's what you're going to hear. You know, you're going to hear them playing church. You're going to hear them doing those things because it's your life, and it's going to be theirs.
We also found out last night that their Barbies were saying other things that we didn't know they were saying, but which was kind of comical. So
I don't remember.
It was funny.
It was a word
that, you know, we didn't allow them to say. So since we didn't allow them to say it to one another, they had their Barbie say it to each other. So, anyway,
I remember that, but I don't remember that. I was probably still medicated, but I don't remember that. I don't remember the word.
So anyway, anything else y'all want to share or bring clarification to as Andrew helped us?
Well, practically, this is what I would do practically, honestly, with one of them. Say it was Emma. Just throwing it out there. Most of the time what I would do, if I was angry, I would say, go sit on your bed and I'll be in there in a minute. Because I needed time to calm down or I would not be calm. And sometimes I would think to tell her to pray, and sometimes I wouldn't. And I'd say, I'll be in there in a minute. And I'd go in my room and I'd pray. And it didn't matter how old she was. I would just pray, and I would have to be completely calm, not angry. As she got older, I would need to hear the Lord about what to say to her. But if it's, you know, 3 and 4 years old or 5 years old and I'm coming in to spank her, at 5 years old, they're pretty intelligent and can understand quite a lot spiritually. So I need to know exactly what to hear from the Lord to say to her. And so the Lord would speak and I would go into her. I would explain to her. We would talk about what she did. We would talk to her about why it was disobedience. What disobedience was, that by disobeying me, she was disobeying the Lord. And that there was consequence to disobeying the Lord. And that through the Lord's eyes, that was a spanking. And sometimes there would be another consequence depending on what that was, whether it was no crayons, if she had done something with crayons or whatever. She would get a spanking and then it was over. I always just loved all over her, kissed all over her after it was over. Even if I didn't feel it and I had to fake it, even if we had done this 35 times, which was not unusual, I would kiss all over and hug all over, and it was over until the next time. And then that was the process I followed every time. Now, sometimes if it happened and I was just outside of myself, I was so upset, I'd do the same thing. I would calmly send her to her room and I'd call Caleb. Sometimes we'd have to tag team. And I'd say, I've been doing this all day. I'm beside myself and I need another point of view because this is all I can see. I need your help. And so he would have as an objective point of view. He's been at work all day and I'm emotional and I've been spanking all day. And so I don't know what to do. And most of the time, the Lord would give him just a different point of view and something else. And we'd pray together, and then I would do what he said, because the Lord would really use him. And sometimes he'd come home, somebody's sitting on the bed waiting for him, because I'd been doing all day and I couldn't do it anymore. And so Daddy would take over for the rest of the night, and Mommy just took a back seat, because I just couldn't do it the rest of the night. I just couldn't. You just have days like that. And some of you moms, you just have days like that where you've just done it all day, and I can't spank anybody anymore, and I can't handle the discipline anymore today. So Dad, you're up, you know.
And that's definitely,
that's just honest.
It's definitely the truth.
It's real.
But I think the separation, the quick moment of separation, is really important. But the first thing I would do now, looking back,
I prayed with her. After I spanked her, we would pray together. She'd repent.
Let me say this real quick, because we're about to run out. The first thing I would do before anything else now, though, looking back, is I'd ask the Lord, why am I angry? What's inside? What is going on inside of me? The things that I've been learning. Why is it?
Well,
is
that's
it,
what I did in my prayer.
Is it my law? Is it what I'm wanting, or is this you? What and then, you know, and again, but ask the Lord, why am I angry? What's inside of me? Why? And then ask for His grace. Lord, give me grace so that I you know, the next time, and He'll do it. You'll find over time that the things that used to make you angry, they don't make you angry anymore. And it's not because you've tolerated them or the rules have changed. It's just because the Lord's working in you. So, Father, thank You for this time. And we thank You for this word and what You're working in us, Lord. God, help us in every way. In every way, both now when our kids are young or on their way to when they're 20, 30, 40, Lord, that we'll always walk in this way, that they'll always see and hear the gospel of the grace in our lives. So we thank You and we love You, God. Amen.
Have you already stopped this?
Oh.
And if y'all ever...